Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin El Hassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey, Big Jerv, producer Sean on the one and twos. Hell of a show lined up. As you can tell from my voice, I just got back from Miami. Miami is where Floyd Mayweather made a shit ton of money to slap some white boy around for a couple of rounds. We'll get into that because I missed it completely because I was dead for all of Sunday. We're also going to talk about Prince's birthday. Happy birthday to a legend. You know, he's got some great stories over the years. We'll try to figure out why, you know, maybe we weren't huge Prince fans at the time. We're also going to remember the legend Clarence Williams III, great actor. You might remember him as Samson Simpson from Half Baked. But first, as I alluded to, I have no voice because I was in Miami for the 24-hour freedom event by the Dan Le Batard Show and Metal Arc Media. I signed my deal, by the way, so shout out to that. I'm going to recap some of the things that happened, if you missed it, and some of the things that happened behind the scenes that I know you missed. But first, patreon.com/countthedings. You need it. You want it. Sign up. Get the Overflow Bomb episodes. Get the special edition Cinephobe episodes. We just did Delta Farce for Memorial Day. We got a hell of a one lined up for June. Can't tell you yet because I got in trouble last time for spilling the beans. And also our live shows. We do a live Zoom show once every 2 weeks. So if you are a Patreon, you have access to that. If you're not a Patreon, you have access to none of that. So stop wasting time. Sign up. And now, without further ado, let me reminisce about being in Miami.
I'm curious because I didn't get a chance to really tap into freedom like that. But it was loved by the community, like by everybody. I didn't see not one single negative comment, bro. And y'all brought out everybody. I'm talking about everybody. And that's a rare sign, not to bring out everybody, but that everybody was fucking with it. I mean, like everybody, seen not one negative thing. Like everybody tapped in. It was like, I think I was more so out the loop. I kind of knew I've seen some posts, but then I didn't know that it was like a marathon type thing. And how sick it really was is because I don't think I've ever seen nothing like that ever happen before.
It was nuts, man. So, to get y'all up to speed, Le Batard Show decided they were going to do a 24-hour show. They just signed this deal with DraftKings. They won the first big event with DraftKings like logo all over it. Would be a 24-hour show starting Friday at noon and then Saturday at noon. And so they and I'm talking about wall-to-wall. We don't take no breaks. There's a couple of like pre-recorded segments. Like they went to the zoo. They did a little bit man on the street stuff. So they re-recorded those. And so these were like 2 or 3 minute breaks in between every couple of hours. But nobody, I mean, we were there. And that was a big thing for me because at the time when I was going, I felt like, okay, I'm on at this time. I'm on at that time. People are off at this time. People are going to be going and coming, right? Going back to the hotel room, napping, whatever. No, everybody stayed the entire time. Only time me and Zach left was to do our radio show. We had to go and do our SiriusXM radio show. So I woke up like around 7 a.m. on Friday. I hit up Zach because I knew Zach was going to have to come to my room to do his radio show that morning because the internet in his room was trash. So I was like, yo, come through. Let's have breakfast. Let's game plan what we're going to do later. Our Cinephobe shift was going to start at 1 a.m. And we're supposed to interview Adam McKay, who is the famous movie producer, director. He gave you Talladega Nights. He gave you Step Brothers. He gave you the TV show Succession, the movie The Big Short. This dude is like a heavy hitter, right? Mm-hmm. But he's also in on this thing. He's in on this Meadowlark Media company that Dan Le Batard started. So he's coming, and we're doing one of his movies. And so the other guest was going to be Neil Brennan because Neil Brennan was the director of that movie. And that's the only movie he's ever directed. And then they said, we might try to get some other guests who were in the movie as well. So you got like Craig Robinson's in the movie. Jeremy Piven is in the movie. Katherine Hahn. Like if you've watched Anchorman or any of those movies, it's the same like five or six faces.
Basically. Right.
They're all in this movie, right?
And they just rotate them, right?
Right. Well, that like we're going to try. It was like the whole thing we're going to see. But Neil Brennan was factual, right? Mm-hmm. So again, so going back Friday morning, have breakfast with Zach. All right, we're going to do this. You know, Jeremy Pippen, obviously he's kind of like a little toxic right now in Hollywood, but he's also Adam's brother-in-law. So it's like, do we bring it up? Do we not bring it up? We start talking through all this shit. Does Adam know we're going to shit on the movie? Like things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Zach does his radio show. I decide to go walk to go get this little splitter thing for when I do my radio show later with him. Come back. I'm drenched in sweat. I'm like, well, I got to take a shower. I shower. By the time I'm done showering, he's done with the radio show. So let's head over. It's now noon. We get to the Clevelander. By the way, while I was kind of doing all this, I was pre-gaming.
Okay.
Right?
What was the drink of choice?
Rum. You know,
okay.
Pirate, okay. Miami. I'm drinking rum, right?
Okay.
So I spiced rum. Bacardi Spice. If you
all right.
If Bacardi's listening. Yo,
Bacardi, send us that pack.
Yeah. So we walk in, and I tell Zach, we should walk in and pretend that we thought Cinephobe is right now to start the show. Like just to be funny, we're gonna come in and interrupt. So like I open the door and I went to the shipping container where Mike and Autumn sitting. And I started walking in like Roy Williams, you know that Roy Williams with the bottle of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike literally, I opened the door, Mike said, get out.
Oh, wow.
Immediately, like it wasn't even like, no, it's like, get out. So I went out, they sent us to the roof, they built this fake pirate ship.
Okay.
On top of the roof with a flag.
So y'all looking like y'all at the Buccaneer Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So we're up on the roof. It's me, Zach, Poppy, Greg Cody, and Juju Gotti.
Okay.
And Tony, and my man Tony. And Juju Gotti's the MC. So they throw it to Juju. Juju's like, hey, da da da, we got everybody out here. How's everybody feeling? All right, send it to, and he says the name of this band. But it wasn't time for the band to come on. So Dan's like, what are we doing here?
Right.
So that's how it started. So now I'm drinking. I go downstairs, and now we all chilling in the green room, which is, I mean, you could see the studio from the green room. It's not that big of a spot. And so we're drinking. Mm-hmm. We're drinking. And then Dan would just yell out, get a meet in here. And I walk in. It's like, Rasheed Wallace is on. And so I'm drunk. I asked Rasheed Wallace about the infamous story that I've told on a Bossa Nova before about how he cussed everybody out. And I thought he's going to be like, yeah, I didn't even like that because Flip Saunders was the coach. So Rasheed actually starts telling the story in detail and it ended up getting aggregated. So, but anyway, it's shit like that. Rasheed Wallace come in. Charles Bronson come in and says to Dan, like, I love your mother. She's a saint. But if I see your daddy, I'm going to fuck him up on sight. tell that motherfucker I'm going to fuck him up on sight. And, you know, and all the Jamel and Michael Smith came on and they kind of redid the six. And it was just a nice, like you said, everybody was fucking with it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was all good. In the middle, me and Zach had to leave. And that's when the drama apparently popped off because Tom Haberstroh and Kate Fagan was trying to raise money for ALS.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if we raise a certain amount, Tom said, I'm going to eat this hot pepper. And then Kate said, if you double it, I'm going to eat this hot pepper. So, of course, they hit both the marks. And now, like, is Kate going to do it? She's not going to do it. Skipper, who's the president of the company, is like, no, you can't force a woman to do this or that, da, da, da. They start arguing. Dan's like, you're not going to tell us what to do. Y'all job is to stay over there on that side of the glass. Don't be all up in here. And it was, I mean, this is playing out on air. This isn't a behind-the-scenes thing.
Oh, okay.
I was just about to ask, should we bossing over this or whatever?
No, okay. No. I mean, it happened on air, man.
It happened. Okay. So it's fair game.
So Kate, basically, while they're arguing, takes the pepper, pops it in. And then the motherfucker started throwing up.
Her and Tom threw up. I said, okay, I seen live action. And then my man woke up. It ain't no baby. I will say that, bro. We, we,
oh, po- man.
We took some habanero. Me, Zach, Mariano. I think you did it too. Did you? Like 3 years ago, bro. And
yep.
Y'all ate a whole pepper?
Yeah, Carolina yep. Reaper, and that shit hurt, bro. Like
I knew the Reaper. I didn't do the Reaper.
That shit hurt. Like it hurt for at least a day, bro. I couldn't consume nothing else. And I just was like, and you know, I wasn't eating like other foods too. So, you know, that shit was all coming up. Like it was like my mouth burning, my jaws, the top of my nose, my mustache, you sweating. Like
he said his mustache hurt.
Bro, that shit was ridiculous, bro. Like the Scoville on it is like, I don't even think it's like the charts, bro.
It's like 2 million. Legit.
It's crazy. It's one of the dangerousest things ever, bro. Like, don't do it.
What do people use it on? Like, do people actually cook with that shit?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, I think it's just, you know, in certain spices and things of that. I mean, like I said, it serves its purpose, but like, it's not really for play. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to just consume the whole thing. I think they dice it and kind of like you, because of the seeds, all that shit. Bro, everything is hot about it.
It's just there to like to flex on people how hot you like your food. It doesn't add any flavor to your
food. Didn't you brag about hot wings, Jer?
Yeah, I had
like habanero, right?
Did y'all say ghost pepper?
Nah, yeah, it's
Carolina Reaper.
Carolina Reaper
is the highest.
The what I had was the ghost pepper, and that shit was like
So think about that. Like doubled or triple, fam. Maybe good, even more, bro. But I'm just saying, like, you're not even gonna try to put that on wings, fam.
I do it for a bag.
They'll do is they'll grind it up and they'll dust like a chicken breast with it.
Yeah. Or and that's like just that. Still now, not even great.
Now, to be fair, Tom brought some hot sauces that were made from Carolina Reaper, and me and Zach put on some pizza. That shit was all right, bro. That shit was all right.
It was all right.
Do you like your food hot?
Bro, I love my food hot. I got some, obviously they're not going to send me no free shit, but Jemima sauce out in LA by the rapper Buddy and his boy Rufio. They got a nice hot sauce going on right now. It costs like $11 a bottle, but like if I can get that shit expedited, I just hate waiting for hot sauce, but they got a hot one that I've been using on everything, bro. Like I had like a jerk sausage, like biscuit, you know what I'm saying? Had cheese on it with the egg, fam. I put some of that hot sauce on it.
My G, you just hit the ground running. Like, you not even fucking around with the fuck around. Like, you over here eating all types of shit.
Jerv, it's been 6 months, bro.
I know it's been a minute. It's been six. I mean, listen, we've been in this pandemic.
Podcast years is kind of crazy because, like, you know, after a while, you do a year, that shit feels like three. But yeah, Jerv.
So it was before New York or after New York?
Shouts to Cole. I've been eating meats, pause if need be, since January 28th of 2021. Right? Okay. Nervous Rod, shout out Cole because it's his birthday. And I'm almost approaching my 6 month, June 28th.
So you gotta do like a smorgasbord or something, my G.
So I've been basically exploring new food. Like Thai's become a new favorite. Obviously Caribbean, Mediterranean food. I do not fuck with New York Mexican food. I have listened to everybody. I've hit every spot that's possible. I'm gonna leave that to LA. I do not really, really, really bang with New York Chinese. I think their Thai food here is elite.
What? Oh no, bro. I got some spots I can send you, bro. And this is coming from a person that shits on New York.
No. Here's the thing. I heard that I have to go to like the hole in the wall, really greasy, and I haven't. That's the thing. I'm only going to take that recommendation from somebody I truly respect, because I'm not gonna go to just Harlem and just be mobbing around my nose wide open trying to get some Chinese food. Just not working like that. But send me to. I'll trust Amin to send me to the right hole in the wall where I can get me some. Because that's the funny thing about it. In LA, we weird, bro. And this is why I know our Chinese food is not elite. We fucking use soy sauce for our fucking egg rolls. And out here, y'all got duck sauce.
Duck sauce, my guy.
I had ducks. So listen, the only reason why I had duck sauce is because the first time when we came out here, I had like a vegetable egg roll and I tried the duck sauce. And that was 2017. Before that, it was soy sauce, everything. So I was not
doing it. I use soy sauce.
But you use soy sauce. But you're supposed to use soy sauce on like rice or something like that, yeah. But not the egg roll. The duck sauce with the egg roll is amazing.
Elite levels, man.
Yeah.
You ever been to a spot called Wu Hop?
I have not.
Wu Hop?
You got to tell me where. I don't even know no place's names.
It's on Mott Street. I don't know where the fuck that is.
I don't even know where the Mott is. Okay.
Mott's downtown.
Hmm. That shit was that was fire, bro. Now, in my defense, I went late night. You know what I'm saying? After working the fight, you know what I mean? Met up with the homies, went down there. It was a little lit. So I don't know how good it is. But I thought it was.
Nah, if you don't tell me about drunk food, I'm cool. Huh?
Trey, go to Chinatown.
Right. Of course. I feel like Chinatown's going to do their stuff.
Anyone in them spots where it's like the more you don't feel like you in America, the better. Okay. I could send you to Flushing, but Flushing is that's deep. First of all, it's deep Queens. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I don't know if you want to have some like duck that's been hanging in a window or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like next level over there. Like,
yeah, Chinatown. I know. Yeah. I that's what I'm saying. In order to really enjoy food, I feel like you have to overindulge in culture and you have to really tap in where the neighborhood is in rich culture. You know what I'm saying? Because if you just like, oh, I'm just going to try to go to this. I'm going to try to get me some Chinese food in Williamsburg. The shit ain't going to be what it is. You know what I'm saying?
That's not the answer.
Yeah, nah. So I've definitely, because listen, Chinatown is dope as fuck out here. I fuck with Chinatown so much.
So anyway,
back to the Carolina Reaper.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So they go through that whole thing. It's a big argument, whatever. I don't know. I wasn't there. Me and Zach walk back in. Now, mind you, again, been up since 7 a.m. and it's now 1 a.m. We're supposed to do 2 hours of this show of Cinephobe. We sit down. We got the movie queued up because we're going to watch it. We can't play it because of rights issues. And before we can hit play, they're like, yo, Method Man's coming on right now. So, boom, first guest, Method Man.
Okay.
So we're like, shit, fuck it. Let's start interviewing Method Man. And, you know, he's been on a Cinephobe movie before, How High. So we start asking him about that. We asked him about like acting and how he got into acting. He said, because it's like, because rapping wasn't paying well enough. So he got acting. But my favorite thing, he told a story about, because I don't know how we got into it. The idea, like, have you ever been paid more than you would have accepted? Basically, like, you know, you like, I would have done it for 10 and they gave me like 25 or whatever. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah. They had him do a track on Foxy Brown's first album
because
she's on Def Jam. He's on Def Jam. And they're like, yo, can you jump on? Mm-hmm. And he said, sure. Y'all paying, right? And they're like, yeah. Said, how much are y'all paying? They said, 25. He said, cool. He jumped in. He got in the booth. He did the thing. When he got done, they handed him a check for $25,000. He thought he was getting
$2,500. Oh, wow. So the 25?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He got 25K. He was doing it for 2,500. He was like, yeah. Oh, okay, 25.
But he also has like a crazy story too. Didn't he used to like clean up at the Statue of Liberty and stuff like that? And, you know, like he really. I only know about the Wu-Tang Chronicles and stuff like that. Yeah, telling the story where he like really loved his job.
All the backstory shit that we got into was kind of like, actually it was weird. It was, most of it was the tail end of his career as a big time rapper and the transition into acting. Right.
Okay.
So a lot of the stories were like about like How High 2. How did you feel about How High 2? It's like,
High 2?
Yeah, man. With Lil Yachty and DC.
Yeah, I don't even want to touch that. Shouts to Lil Yachty though. Shouts to him.
I asked him. Well, he said he was happy for those guys. He said they're good guys. I said, did they try to get you to do the movie? He said, did they try to get you and Red to do the movie? He said, they try to get me. I said, what happened? He said, I saw the script. And then he said, no. And they said, and as soon as they didn't have me,
they just kept like,
going. No, they were just like, there's no point in getting red if meth ain't going to do it also.
Right.
But
that's crazy. You know, yeah, that never happened. And that don't exist in my world.
Yeah, but like he had a lot of good stories. And then Adam McKay jumps on, and Adam McKay's like, Matthew, one of my favorite rappers. And he starts like rapping to him his own lyrics and shit. So now we're like, oh shit, this shit is happening.
Did he perform the what?
And then Meth leaves. We start talking to McKay for a little bit. And then right then, Neil Brennan come on. And then for the next like 45 minutes, it's like a private FaceTime call between Neil Brennan and Adam McKay. And me and Zach are just sitting there. So like they're talking about all type of shit. Some of it ain't funny. Some of it is quite boring, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is fucking hilarious. These stories about like this one dude kept telling me we need to do so-and-so life story and shit. He called me drunk from whatever. So all these funny stories. And because of the way they're Zooming, because neither of them had headphones on, you know how Zoom be.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it through the speaker, if you're talking, it mutes out anybody
everything,
else.
Yeah.
Yep.
So me and Zach are trying to like hop in, like to make little comments, but they're not hearing us. So then basically me and Zach start making jokes. I'm drunk again. I've been drinking. Zach's drinking now. Like we're making jokes to each other. I'm making jokes to Mike and Roy over here. I mean, them niggas can't hear me, so it's all good. Then he starts talking about Barbara Streisand went to the premiere of this movie. And she said, when I asked her after how it was, she said, it was cute. And everybody laughed, and I looked at Zach and I said, is that a good thing? And that was the moment.
What everybody could hear.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, look at Neil Brennan cuss my ass out, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. And then, like, so I laughed. I thought it was funny, man. He cussed me out, you know, because of the joke. That was the one thing that they heard or whatever.
Right.
But other people who watched it later told me
that he was really hot.
Yo, he was hot for real.
Oh, okay.
Like they would say, like, yo, that, you know, that motherfucker was hot, basically.
He was on some fuck like, that guy shit.
And afterward, his whole demeanor switched up.
Okay.
And so what was it? So Juju, because Juju said, I listen to his podcast all the time. I can tell because that motherfucker stood up because he was lying back the whole time.
Oh, wow.
At that moment, he stood up and then he was walking around after that.
He turned into James Earl Jones. My son works.
Yeah. So
yo.
But it was cool. We kept doing it, and then they dip, and me and Zach did another half hour, and then Greg Cody came on, and Greg Cody was fucking killing, man. This nigga called his wife at 4 a.m. to ask her, yo, do we have reservations for dinner tonight? She's That's so hot. Up. She's like, why are you calling me right now? Right. Then like the show just kept going, but nobody left. Nobody went to sleep. So as the thing wears on, everyone's starting to get delirious and a little kooky or whatever. So we ended like right around noon, and at noon everyone's like hugging and shit. We popped champagne on the roof, on the pirate ship. We dropped the flag, a banner, all this shit. Like, and I was like, yo, I'm gonna go meet up with my friends for brunch. I should go back to my room and shower because remember, I've been up since 7 in the morning.
Okay.
On Friday, it is now 12:30 or 12-ish on Saturday.
So my body would help. I hate myself.
Or brush my teeth. And by the way, I've been drinking this whole time.
Right.
The champagne bottle.
So you out there looking like Denzel in Flight.
Boy, the champagne that I popped, I took it to the head, bro. I was like, okay. After that.
Wait, so you drank rum, champagne,
tequila,
oh,
whiskey.
Oh, your liver was having a body party word to Sierra.
Yeah. So,
what time did you wake up on Sunday?
No, watch this. So, I'm like, everybody told me, bro, if you go back to your room, you ain't never leaving. So, if you're gonna meet these people, you gotta go right now. So, I was like, all right. So, I get in an Uber, I go to brunch. Bottomless over there.
Ugh.
Eat, be merry. Shout out to American Social. Just fucking killed it. And then, like, at some point, I was like, I got to go, man.
Right. I'm proud of you for leaving, man.
I'm back in my room around 3:30. Put my head to the bed. And then from 3:30 p.m. Saturday to 7 in the morning Sunday, your boy's knocked out.
That's not even it's not good sleep, but it's not crazy because it's serial killers that sleep that long on some regular shit. Niggas is going to bed at 7 and waking up at 7.
I slept for 16 hours. Y'all saying that's not that bad?
Wait.
3:30 in the afternoon.
Wait, so 3 p.m. to
7 a.m.
Okay. No, I don't know. I don't know why I'm bugging. That's
now, that's some. You said it right. That's some Dexter shit. Like Dexter would go to sleep at 3:30.
I would have had to go check on you, bro. Make sure you still had like
nobody. Nobody checked on me. Actually, no. I take that back. People hit me up, but I just didn't hit them back. And
right,
but
you was cooked.
Yeah, man. But like that moment I showered. I got.
Did you lose anything?
I lost a shirt, man. I lost a shirt in the studio. I lost
the shirt you were wearing.
The Nautica one?
The Rick James Eddie Murphy one.
Oh,
that's ass.
Yeah, man. I was.
If you're listening, please replace Amin's Rick James Eddie Murphy Party All the Time shirt.
Yeah, but that's crazy that you lost that shirt, right? Because clearly, 9 times out of 10, someone that was there that you see on the normal most likely has that shirt. Bro, so like do they just wear it one day and just be like, oh no, I've had this the entire time?
It's wild because I'm like, where else could it be? You know?
Maybe somebody grabbed it and meant to give it to you and they probably have it now. And just hey, I grabbed your shirt.
I scoured that whole studio 8 million times, asked so many
is people, it a favorite shirt?
From mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, like it's sentimental. Oh, yeah. Man.
So listen, if y'all out there and y'all see this shirt, please return it to me.
Free of me shirt.
Yeah, man, that was all one downside. That was the negative of the. But everything else, man, everything else was cool.
I said that sounds like content heaven, man. And yeah.
Quick question.
Yo,
is Tom okay?
Tom's okay.
He's great. He retweeted with an update. He was fine.
He's okay.
Kate, the last thing I saw
was Skipper reading the bedtime story to him, and that was like the last thing I saw.
That was pretty fire though. Like, listen, it's content go. Y'all fed the wolves anything they wanted.
I was like, oh shit, it's really Skipper. Like Skipper's really reading this dude a fucking bedtime story. This is crazy.
And by the way, we shouted out Cinephobe about 8 billion times, man.
I hope they pull up.
Yeah, so fans, if you're not checking out Cinephobe now, please go and check it out. Let's get this thing popping.
Yeah, it's one of the best shows on the network.
Speaking of Cinephobe, really quick, I want to remember Clarence Williams III, who passed away. Mm-hmm. He's a great actor. He got the start, I believe, in Mod Squad, TV show back in the day in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, been steady working. He's really a serious actor, but from a Cinephobe angle, he was in 2 Cinephobe movies that we've done. He was in Reindeer Games, and then of course, my guess is for the listeners, the most famous role he's ever done was Samson Simpson in Half Baked.
Great movie.
Great movie. Yo, great job.
Yo, Sam, I got like two. First of all, his role in Half Baked was great. He like, Mom, when he say, shout out, bitch, that part. And then also Tales from the Hood, you'll be deep in the shit. Yep. That part and Sugar Hill when that nigga was fucking up them noodles. Mm. That nigga was slurping them noodles up, nigga.
Yep.
Raymond.
Also,
he was scary as shit in Tales from the Hood.
Hoodlum. And Jerry's favorite. It's like,
how do you sleep at night? How do you know I sleep at all, Bumpy? That's the fucking killer line right there. He's like, how do you sleep at night? How do you know I sleep at all?
And then Jerry's favorite, he's the reason why Ray and Claude went to jail for life.
That's right. He was one of the card players, right?
Yeah.
He
took his daddy's watch.
Oh, it took me a couple minutes to catch that. I'm sorry.
Go ahead and slander, man, so we can block you.
I'm just saying, bro.
Like, it's a great movie, just, man. I still don't understand.
It's not a good movie. It's just not good.
Oh, and by the way, his most iconic role got to be like Prince's daddy in Purple Rain, right?
Prince's dad in Purple Rain for sure. I forgot about that. Shout out to
like that. That's, I mean, like if we're gonna pick like the most iconic role he's been in, but
Speaking of Prince, it's his birthday.
Is it?
It's his birthday today. He would have been 57. But you know, we don't keep tabs. We don't keep tabs on Prince's birthday. You know, he stopped keeping count of his age long time ago.
Yo, by the way, one last thing before we move on to Prince. He also played Bumpy Johnson in American Gangster at the beginning of American Gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Lucas's mentor or whatever. But Prince, are we going to do? I was not prepared for Prince talk right now, to be honest with you.
I mean, just we could talk about a favorite song. We don't have to go too crazy. I just wanted to shout out a legend.
I'm going to be real, man. I feel like when it comes to Prince, I'm real basic. I want to be like the cool kids, like, oh, and the B side of this shit and that shit.
Nah. I mean, I banged with them, but again, I respect the artistry. A lot of shit, I just was too young, and like, I come around and I play it if I'm on some fly shit, just trying to make it, you know, trying to make it seem like I just got my isms up, but like,
yeah,
you know. I was more relatable to Mike Jack because
yeah, that's me. I'm just
a dancing ass little kid, and then you know Prince had that player shit. You know what I'm saying? Shouts to him. You know he was able to you know wear the boots and be able to jump off high shit and play the motherfucking guitar sexy.
As a young boy, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, man. I was thrown off. Where you look, man.
It was a little different. It was a little different for you to consume as a teenage or preteen boy, or even younger than that. Because again, that those R&B singers in general, and you know, musicians during that time of 70s and 80s, the wardrobe was just not accessible. You're not going to school dressed like Prince, my nigga.
Right.
I don't give a fuck. You're not dressed like the Isley Brothers, my nigga. Even though they were all bad and tough, and they would have beat somebody ass dressed like that. But Trey,
it wasn't even that you weren't gonna be dressed like that. It's like, I don't want to dress like that. Michael Jackson was wearing some military shit and the one glove, like, yeah, that shit look cool, bro. This shit got my shirt open, and like, I'm like, that don't look cool to me.
My nigga had the V-neck that go down to the top of his abs. Mike was a sick nigga Mike had me wearing some motherfucking Payless. I remember begging my grandma for some Payless church shoes, bro, and wearing them with some tube socks.
White socks? With some white socks?
White socks, my nigga. And Moonwalker.
Your feet was tight as shit.
I'm wearing a motherfucking 5.5 and 5.5Y, and I watched Moonwalker to the fucking tape pop, bro. And I was in there just doing all the little shit. And every birthday, my grandma used to make us do the Soul Train line, fam. And the only shit I really low-key was fire at was the Running Man. I used to be doing the Running Man. And then I do the shit? Because I had the Gumby joint for a little bit. They let me rock out with the Gumby in 89, 90. And then I seen Michael Jordan and asked for the ball fade.
Yeah.
hey, all that dancing shit went out the window. Like, hey, nah, nigga, we got a hoop.
Mike danced.
My nigga, they got that bullshit ass video out.
Yeah, Mike danced, bro.
Doing this shit. Whatever, him and Charles Oakley and them niggas, man. But yeah, nah, shout out to Prince, man. A legend. Charlie Murphy always had the. Hey, my
nothing
shit
compares
is.
To you, bro.
You know, and niggas will fight all day over Mike and Prince, bro. I think they both was great at what they did. That nigga was the shade master. As older as I get, right. I appreciate him even more.
Way more. Like, now, it's like, I wish. But, like, I don't know, man. It was just kind of one of those things. I don't know if I was ever going to be ready to understand that stuff. I kind of wish, like, if you're a kid now, or like a young person now, you weren't really around for either the heyday. I feel like you have a better chance of, like, listening to the music and be like, yeah, I like this, I like that, as opposed to me. Like, I'm at this point, I'm like, I'm super duper Michael Jackson'd up. I can't even switch if I wanted to. But I do appreciate Trey, like you said, the shade. This motherfucker, like, that motherfucker was like a real, he's a real nigga. That's the thing about Prince. Out of all that stuff, all that weird stuff, he was way more of a real ass nigga than Michael Jackson was, right? I told y'all the story about the 96 finals. He's like during the 96 finals, Prince was on tour, like stadium tour.
And he was watching it while he was playing.
This motherfucker had two TVs, stage left, stage right, rolled up. And like literally he playing, and you know how sometimes they'll go and they'll play left side of the building. Oh, go crazy. Milwaukee would do this shit just so he could watch the game right here, like what the Bulls doing over here. And then he turned and walk over to the side, right side of the building. Oh, and the same thing. He started watching.
Yeah, and he had the screens.
Yo, it's fucking insane how much this dude love hoop. The other story is a buddy of mine is rep by this agent. His agent was like lived in Minnesota in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they said like they had this pickup game they used to go and play in every Sunday. It's one of those pickup games where it's like the same like 12 to 15 people show up. Sometimes some people don't show up, sometimes, but it's always the same cast of characters, right? And like nobody really knows anything about anybody outside of this pickup game. Like they know mm-hmm. their names and shit, but you know, like, all right, man, see you next week. And then one of them just don't talk until next week. They said there's one dude who used to talk so much shit. His nigga name was Raj. Raj is out here like hooping and talking mad shit the whole fucking time. So go like 3 or 4 weeks go by, Raj don't show up. They're like, yo, where Raj at, man? I ain't seen him like play in a while. Said, oh yeah, he's on tour with his band. Like, Raj is in a band? And then like they said the next year Purple Rain came out and Raj was Prince Roger Nelson.
Oh shit.
So like when the Charlie Murphy story came out, like one of the first people to confirm that shit was real was my boy, because he told me this dude, his boy told him, like, yeah, mm-hmm. it's absolutely true. He's yeah. absolutely nice like that. I saw Charlie Murphy live in when he did like a little comedy stand up for a bit, and he was telling more stories. He was like, the nigga was like Steph Curry, basically.
No, nah, I heard he can shoot like crazy. That's the, like that was crazy. The hey, wasn't he at the 2016 finals? He pulled up in yes, Golden State. Yeah, okay. I knew I wasn't bugging because yeah. that shit was first of all that game. That was Game 7 on Father's Day.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Game 7 on Father's Day in 2016. At that was when LeBron got the block on Iguodala. Yeah. But niggas was walking through the building. And I remember the nigga had a bad one. And niggas was like, yo, that's Prince. And that's when the nigga had to throw with them glasses, them crazy motherfucking glasses. And I looked, but he was so short, nigga. The chick was with him was like 6 feet, nigga. Yep. So I'm like, damn, I can't get a glimpse of him. But like, you know, overall, they like, yo, he really love hoop. And that's when I really kind of start like believing all that Charlie Murphy shit. I'm like, okay, he really be locked in. They say, oh, yeah, he be, you know, he really. And then Rex Chapman obviously told us the story about him coming to the game. They gave him tickets and he was like, oh, hang out with us. And they was in a limo, he took him mm-hmm. to the club. He said, you know, basically he ended up disappearing. He ain't seen him after that. I forgot what other teammate they was with. This one he was playing with Charlotte. But like, yeah, he loved hoop. They talked about hoop the whole ride. And he just ended up just mystically disappearing.
Yo, but my favorite thing is like the other shit that's true is that the whole this shit bores me. that's what that nigga was, man. I saw an Eddie Murphy interview. He said he didn't make pancakes, he made waffles. Like there was like the details that were wrong about the story were like so small and inconsequential
mm-hmm.
that it was like, yeah, but like you know, that shit happened. Yeah, the niggas really didn't change. Oh no, he said Charlie and them didn't like they either didn't change clothes or they bought their own clothes.
Mm.
It wasn't like Prince had like clothes laying for them around.
Oh, yeah. Just had them all dressed up and shit.
Yeah, but Prince and his boys really were dressed like from the club with blouses and shit. Like that shit happened.
My nigga, a nigga getting light on you in a fucking Bram Stoker fucking vampire interview with the vampire type of blouse, nigga. I'm never hooping again. You get light on me like that.
Yeah, man.
You give me 40 in that blouse, nigga. I'm never touching the basketball again. Straight up.
These niggas was running plays and shit. Computer blue.
Computer blue is amazing, my nigga.
Darling picky.
That storytelling is so good, bro. Like, for real.
Shout out to Charlie Murphy, man. Shout out to Prince.
Rest in peace to two legends.
The last thing we got on the docket for today was the Mayweather Logan Paul fight that I have no idea what happened because I was like in a body bag for pretty much all of Sunday.
So I have no problem with this. I've seen a lot of people like, oh,
what happened? I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know
who lost to be one. So first of all, the undercard, Chad Johnson fault. He got put on his ass.
No way.
But not like that though. Like he did okay.
Did he hit the canvas?
I mean, bro, I'm just comparing did to he hit Nate the Robinson. Canvas? I'm comparing to Nate Robinson, dog.
I'm just asking. Did he hit the canvas?
He did, but he got literally right back up.
Don't get his hand up like
the Black Power.
I'm not saying that he got. You know, he was out of it, but he basically got knocked down. So that's an L. But they didn't do winners and losers, you know what I'm saying, in that situation.
Yes, fought, and that was it?
Yeah, it's four rounds. Shouts to him. He's fast as shit, though. I think Chad's like probably 41 or something. That nigga's fast as fuck, bro.
I think the reason they didn't do winners is because...
It's all in the contracts like that.
Well, I think legally, right, if they score the fight, they would have to technically be able to be bet on, I think, is how that works, too, I think.
I have no idea. I know Floyd was not taking no risk with that shit. But
go ahead. My fault.
Fast forward to the fight. Jake Paul, I mean, like, you know, to be honest, he landed some punches. But if you look at the card, it looked like he ain't land nothing at all. You know what I'm saying? Because Floyd is obviously an entertainer and he does what he does. And you kind of like, if you're not a fucking, you know, boxing enthusiast and you don't really love that shit and you only come for knockouts, his fights are normally boring because he's such a defensive fighter now at his age. So like, you're just watching the beauty of him dodging punches. He's really kind of like how that Mike Tyson doc where motherfuckers pulled up to Vegas just to watch him work out. That's how that shit looked like. But there was a video that came out today where he actually caught Paul and he held him up.
He hit him
and he caught him and held him up like as if he was hugging and gave him like a chance to like it's almost as if he telling him like, yo, swing at me until you get your feet back, because he looked like he done caught him.
Like, but you could tell super duper early in that joint that, like, even though you knew automatically going in, like there was no worry, there was no nothing. Like, Floyd literally would just stand there, put his guard up. And then it's Logan. Yeah, Logan would just swing. And then he'd get tired.
Was it Logan or Jake?
Doesn't fucking matter.
One of the Paul. That nigga got 20 M's. I know that. Yeah,
listen. And Floyd would just boop, boop. And then, like, you know what I mean? And then he would just stand there with his guard up. He would miss him a lot of times or whatever. The one thing that I say that I took from it is, one, Floyd's old as shit.
44.
Right? Yeah, like, he's old, right? Like, goddamn, I'm almost 44. But he's old as shit, right?
I mean, we'll change a Jerv to boxing years. 44 in boxing years is...
78 years old.
That's a lot. But he's still fucking quick.
He's quick, I'm not like a super duper, you know, fan of the Sweet Science, but I watch it, right? Like, I don't know all the shit to it, but, you know, I know enough that I can tell you if somebody's nice, somebody's trash, whatever. And, you know, I've seen Floyd get less and less and less, but the drop-off that I saw in him from this fight, from whoever it was that he fought last, I guess it was McGregor or whatever, like the actual real fight, you know what I'm saying? Like, the drop-off was tremendous. You can obviously tell he didn't really train, but he didn't need to train, right? Like,
I mean, that nigga went to Istanbul and got that hair done. That's why he couldn't sweat for 6 weeks.
Hey, bro,
that shit looked perfect.
Listen, it looked perfect. I might go. That nigga shit was cool.
He can't sweat for 6 weeks and he got that shit done. Now he got beard and hair.
Would y'all clown me if I went to Istanbul and got a hairline?
Self care.
Bro, I would ask you for a referral. Clown you.
Yeah, niggas ain't doing all that. But overall, like, it was entertainment. It was entertainment. People, you know, tapped in. Obviously, you know, sometimes fans look at it like, oh, they just want to see, you know, one of the Paul brothers get hurt. But, like, that's not the case. And then also you have the purists that's saying, oh, this is made of a mockery, and why would he do such? And, you know, boxing is this and that. It's like, it's entertainment. That's all it is.
Let me ask y'all a question. Do you think there's anything in the contract that tell Floyd you can't fuck this nigga up too hard?
He did. He legit knocked him out. Like, he knocked him out.
But I'm talking about Jerv, like, because it's my belief that if Floyd Mayweather wanted to knock this nigga out in round one,
he could have did it. For sure.
I don't give a fuck who you've been sparring with. I don't care how little Mayweather.
That nigga Floyd was in there looking like Lil Mac on Punch Out.
Pro fucking fighter, man.
I think
pro power.
Floyd knew how much the difference, which I don't understand how it would be, but the difference in the fight being him getting more bread probably if it goes the distance. As opposed to, right.
it was a full commitment. It had to be a full commitment to making it to eight rounds.
Oh, okay,
and that's why that nigga held him up. But like, yeah, it was times where he got caught on the back foot. He was open, and he, you know, niggas that really do it could spot
with
that
with a tap.
Like me, you, I don't give a fuck what type of street record we got. We getting that motherfucker. We going to bed. So off one little wrong, that's why I was looking at Ocho Cinco like, bruh. It's cool. I mean, I appreciate you doing it and lasting four rounds, but
so he got a mil?
No, he got an M for four rounds. Yeah,
a mil to knock something off your bucket list. That's pretty fucking dope.
But, yeah, he called out McGregor next.
making a mil is my bucket list. Good job.
Yeah.
Hey man.
Facts. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Man, well, damn. Do we want more of these kinds of fights? By the way,
I don't want any more.
Hold on. They didn't do the shit with the music and like the. It wasn't.
I think the Migos. Like, I think the Migos performed, but they should. They had Deezus Samero.
That was actually the dopest. That was actually pretty dope to me. If you fool with them, you liked it. And I like their banter. I like their, their whole
They did the play by play.
Yeah, they did the play by play.
They did the play by play for the not for the exhibition fights. And then they interviewed Floyd pre-fight. After Al Bernstein said it ain't gonna be no fucking Floyd ain't doing pregame interviews. And then
look, I'm all for them getting the bag, bro. Straight up. But I still prefer Snoop because Snoop was just hilarious, bro.
I say this. I would have wanted them. Do you feel like it'd been overkill for them to be with Snoop? Would that have been overkill for you?
To do what?
I feel
the team. Okay,
Jerv, I would say this because you need someone that knows in order for people to shine, you not even know what to talk about. Someone who's just gonna be normal, gonna be like serious. Right, so that you get the contrast of like you can't have all ketchup, man. You gotta have some French fry in there, so the ketchup pop off the way it should. And so,
also, go ahead.
No, I'm
saying also speaking of Snoop, Snoop has become the executive creative and strategic consultant at Def Jam.
Oh, shout out to.
So, he might be opening up some Def Jam West shit, you know?
Yeah, we've heard rumors for years, decades of Def Jam West. Bad Boy West, all the West.
I feel like we've done this before.
Yes, we have. It never works out. But shout out to Snoop because I fuck with him and I think he's a great person. So, all right, that's going to do it for us here. Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Remember, Count the Dings Patreon. Remember, it's patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you're getting those overflow episodes, those special edition Cinephobes, those live show invites. You want all of those, you need all of those. Make sure you are a Patreon. Thank you to Big Jerv, Black Trade, producer Sean on the one and twos. We'll holler at y'all next week. Stay black, motherfuckers.